Hi there, we are James and Dan, two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Robert Flores, Houstonian, big star, MLB Network, with us here this morning on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 at Roflo, R-O-F-L-O, if you're not following him. You need to, because he is a bona fide tweeter. He's got a blue check mark, so he knows things. Robert, welcome back to the show. How are you doing this morning?
I am doing great. How are you guys doing?
Man, the season is back. Isn't it awesome?
Oh, it's really great. I mean, I know it was a little dicey, a little touch and go there earlier in the winter, and then as we had to push back the start of spring training, but it's great. You know, it's great to see the fans at the back of the ballpark. And, there's been some challenges, especially from a health perspective. A lot of teams are being affected by the health of their starting pitching and pitching staff in general. But other than that, it's been great.
So you tweeted out George Springer's homer yesterday. The gold glove and the silver slugger picked up by Carlos. Honestly, as a Houstonian, do you want to see those guys? Does it hurt a little to see those guys do well or no?
I mean, I'm sure that there's a little twinge of, kind of in the pit of your stomach where it stings a little bit. But, both of those guys, George Springer and Carlos Correa, they were a part of so many great moments for the franchise and moments that will go down in the annals of the city sports history. So they clearly played a big role in that. And, yeah, you do feel a little sense of nostalgia when those guys do well in another uniform, but you understand that it's just part of the business.
Yep. Hey, Steven Souza had an interesting tweet yesterday when people were talking about the Dodger talk was how much they hate Jose Altuve, and he said, hey, there's a lot of good guys over there, and then there was a long thread.
And then there's actually, here's some of the comments. People were like a guy comes out and says, "Well, I'm sure they are when they aren't cheating at the highest level of competition." And Steven says, "I'm not going to get into all that, but you should just know that if you think Houston was the only team with a sign stealing system, you're wrong." And he was asked about, Altuve is one of my all time favorites, but blah blah blah. He said, "I hear you, but if you only knew how many teams were doing it, you wouldn't be as mad at Jose Altuve." And another person jumped in, a Dodgers fan, but they were the only ones cheating in the 2017 World Series. He said, 100% absolutely not the only team in 2017. I can promise you that. Did other teams use tech like Houston and Boston? He goes, yep. So you're starting to see, we saw it with Bassett, we've seen it with Chris Sale, now we've seen it with Souza. What the players have known the entire time but didn't want to say because of the atmosphere and the anger in the air at the time, Robert, they're starting to say now that some time has passed, the truth is starting to come out on this deal.
Yeah, listen, the whole episode of what went down in 2017 and then the resulting suspensions and all that followed with that, clearly, it is such a complicated issue with a lot of nuance and details, and those are things that really aren't valued, certainly on social media and in a large part in our country today. So people want to be angry for the sake of being angry, but make no mistake about it. Listen, what the Astros did in 2017, what was ultimately determined that they did in the resulting investigation, reprehensible. And could you argue that they were the most elaborate, maybe the even the most arrogant with their whole apparatus and scheme? Sure, yeah, absolutely. But to some of the other major leaguers that have pointed this out, were they the only ones? I don't know that for sure. I would suspect that they were not the only ones. Do people and other fan bases outside the city of Houston want to hear that? No. Do they care? No. Are they going to let it go? No. That's ultimately what it is. I mean, no one's mind is going to be changed because that's just the way this story is, and that's the way the sporting public is, and that's the way we are as a country as well. That's just how it is, unfortunately.
When is the letter going to be open?
I don't know. I don't know. I think I read a couple of weeks ago that it would be a couple of weeks from now. So, but I would, I don't know anything about letters or what's in the contents of that letter. But I imagine that it's not going to satisfy Astro fans, and it's not going to prove anything to fan bases outside of Houston.
No. No.
It's going to be so really don't put a whole lot of stock into it. That's kind of my suspicions on the whole thing.
Well, even the Yankees can circumvent a judge's decision. So I mean they were told to open it in 2 weeks and still isn't open a month ago. So
we're done trying to figure that out. Oh,
forget about it. Hey, is there a chance that it's obviously a small sample size, and after one game, you know, Jeremy Peña had an error, so he was the worst shortstop ever. But now he's 6-for-16. He's hitting .375. He's got a homer. He's got 2 3-hit games. Was there a chance that the Astros were right about this thing?
That's a difficult question because I think there's a lot that goes into it. I didn't understand why the Astros would be resistant to getting one more year of Carlos Correa in his prime. I think he clearly wanted to come back. I know for a fact that the Astros seemingly weren't as enthusiastic about a possible reunion, at least if you gauge by their unwillingness to engage Correa's camp's attempts at a reunion. I know for a fact they did not offer him a contract post-lockout or offer him a new deal or talk figures with him or his representatives post-lockout. So setting that aside, I think Jeremy Peña is clearly, this is the best case, best case scenario for the Astros right now. Jeremy Peña gets off to a good start, especially at the plate. The thing that I've maintained about Jeremy Peña is he can't be Carlos Correa. Yeah, I mean, he's got to be the best version of Jeremy Peña that he can be. He needs to make most, if not all, of the routine plays, and every now and then make a spectacular play. And his skill set and his career in professional baseball would lead you to believe that he's capable of that. So I think that this is the best-case scenario for the Astros and for Jeremy Peña, getting off to a nice start, getting him settled into the lineup. At first, they were batting him, I think, seventh in the lineup, and then after a couple of games, hey, he was batting second and third. So I think this is a really good start for Peña and hopefully something that he can build on.
Right. Yep. Yep.
Robert Flores joins us right now. Rolf Love from MLB Network, and this is a good time to be an Astros fan in terms of the general time frame. But it's also good when you have a young pitching staff. And Justin Verlander came back. He's not a young pitcher. He's an older pitcher who seems to be pitching really well. But when you look at historically, the ability to sustain success always comes with younger pitchers who are still under club control and who are heading into their prime. Do you see this as a sustainable, even when Justin Verlander's gone, do you still see sustainable high-end level pitching talent at the starting rotation, or do you think that there's going to need to be some additional movement at some point?
Yeah, I think it's probably a combination of both. I think you have to look at how the Astros have developed their young starters and the success they've had. Jose Urquidy, Luis Garcia, those guys have pitched in some important ball games for this team over the past couple of seasons, especially Urquidy, and they've performed very well. So Framber Valdez has turned into a top of the rotation type starter? Is he an ace of a winning ball club or a pennant winning ball club? I don't know about a one, but he can certainly be a two and definitely a three. So I think this Astros team and franchise has shown that they have a good history of developing young talent, but they're always going to be looking to add. And I think that's something you have to be willing to do. If you can acquire quality talent, especially in the starting rotation department, you're absolutely going to do that.
I was a little disappointed that you turned on the organization. You had Toronto winning the AL this year.
Hey, man, they are freaking stacked. That is for sure. Look, everyone knows that I'm a native Houstonian, so sometimes I got to do like the fake hustle.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. That's a diversionary tactic.
I got to pretend like I'm not biased. You know what I mean?
No, I know what you mean. Hey, is this, man, it got ugly in that that Mets Washington series with the balls to the face. This is going to last all season long. And that was ugly, that first series.
Yeah, and clearly those two are division rivals, so they're going to play a whole lot more throughout the course of the season. I think in most instances, it probably wasn't intentional, but I've never experienced 90 miles per hour to the face or to the ribs, but I imagine it hurts whether it's intentional or not. So, and being that Buck Showalter is a new manager over there, he's got to show that he's willing to protect his guys and protect his lineup. So I think it's in his heart of hearts. Buck Showalter would tell you he knows that it wasn't intentional, but at the same time, he also knows that he has to go out there and protect his guys.
Big mistake by Cashman revealing the Judge numbers.
I thought it was interesting, and best case scenario, it was interesting. Worst case, it was petty. I think they knew what they were doing, and I understand it. You know, part of me understands why you want to let your fan base know, hey, this is what we offered. We didn't lowball them. We made a serious, realistic, competitive offer. Do I think it's an offer that's probably a little low, and do I think Aaron Judge can do a little bit better? Yeah, I can. And when people and Yankee fans and fans in general say, well, how can this guy turn down $200 million? I would never turn down $200 million. The thing that I always go back to is, one, no one's offering you $200 million to do your job. That's just the way it is. I wish it was different. I wish we could pay teachers and lawyers $200 million. And policemen and fire personnel, but that's just not how it works. Aaron Judge can make more than what the Yankees offered. Now, he's got to stay healthy, and he's got to produce, and his health has always been a subject of scrutiny. So I think that Aaron Judge is betting on himself, and I will always applaud someone for doing that.
Robert Flores on MLB Network. What are your hours this year? What's going on?
Yeah, MLB Central is on an hour earlier, so we are on at 8 a.m. Houston time, so in about half an hour.
Nice, nice. That's why we got him early here. You early listeners got a chance to hear Robert Flores before he goes on the big stage and tells you all about baseball this morning on the MLB Network. Hey, Robert, we'll let you go. We know you got to work. We really appreciate you being here, and let's do it again soon.
Absolutely. Anytime, guys. You guys
right.
have a great one.
There's Robert Flores right here, ESPN 97.5. And 92.5.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.